Here from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians 9 and 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. There are a lot of different types of races that have taken place. There have been foot races, there have been political races, there have been boat races, car races, a lot of different races, but there is one race that is more important than any race, any of those others, and that is the race of those seeking to make it to heaven, the Christian race. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I believe that Paul ran his race successfully all the way to the end. It's not enough just to start out right, to start out with a rapid speed, but it's important in our Christian race that we make it all the way to the end. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 11. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servant, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, many start out in the Christian race, but not everybody makes it all the way to the end. That ought to help us have a concern that we are careful, that we run our race right, and that we make it all the way to the end. I thought it was interesting, I read a little about training race horses. Did you know that horses are actually trained to run a race? They don't just get on and make the horse go, but a horse learns some things. One of the things that a horse learns is how to obey commands. Horses are trained to be desensitized to distractions so that they can remain calm and focused. They have to learn to be comfortable with the saddle and the bridle. Can you imagine the first time they experience a saddle and bridle when they show up for a race? No, they train them to be comfortable with their gear. Horses are conditioned to improve both their speed and stamina over time. The demands on a racehorse are gradually increased over time so that when the day for the race comes, the horse is fully capable. There are some important things in the preparation of a racehorse: proper diet, exercise, rest. Those are needed to keep the horse in top shape. And in England, they condition horses for racing by alternating between flat terrain and hills. And I thought it was interesting the number of parallels there are between a racehorse that is being trained to run a race and our Christian race. A horse must learn to obey commands. Do you think we need to obey commands if we're going to run our race successfully? Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Obedience. Isaiah 1 and 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye will be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Like I say, there is no race more important than making it all the way to the end of a Christian race, to be successful, to be like Paul that says, I have run the race, and there's a crown laid up for me. If we are going to make it all the way to the end, we must be obedient to the Lord. A horse is desensitized to distractions. Do you think distractions could cause us to veer off course, to cause us to give up the Christian race? Well, there may be some that say to us, you really don't need to go that way. There's another way that you can get to heaven. That can be a distraction, can't it? Matthew chapter 24 and verse 23. If any man shall say unto you, lo, Christ is here or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets that shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Lo here or lo there, this is the way to go, or that is the way to go. There are plenty of distractions, but Lord, help us to be desensitized to anything that would distract us from our goal of heaven so that we can make it all the way to the end. I'm thinking about running a race, and we can run a race and end up at the wrong destination, right? So if we're going to run the race, we better be running in the right direction. There was also a man in the Bible who wanted to run to the King David and tell him the results of the war. And the commander said, no, this isn't the time for you. You don't run. And he had another messenger. But the one who wanted to run insisted and insisted until he said, okay, go ahead and run. And he ran, and he was so fast he could outrun the real messenger that had the real message. And when King David asked him, how's my son Absalom? He had to stand aside until the real messenger got there. Lord, help us that when we run our race, we will run in the right direction. We will run in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. There are distractions that can keep us from making that goal in life, that goal of heaven, and that is the cares of life. That's so easy in our society, isn't it? So many things to get us preoccupied, to get our minds off heavenly things, and we can, over time, lose our way and not make it, run our race all the way to the end of life. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Second Timothy 2 and 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, we have affairs of this life we must take care of, but I think it's talking about entanglement, getting to the point that we can't get loose, that we're too obligated, we're too committed. The Lord wants us to be able to run a race where we are willing to let go of anything that is going to be a hindrance to us to make it into heaven. There are distractions that will come our way to get us off focus of that goal of making it to heaven. Offenses, Psalms 119 and 165. Psalms 119 and 165, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing is going to keep them from running that race all the way to the end. If we think of the many offenses and contradictions that came to Paul, he ran all the way successfully to the end, and as did a great cloud of witnesses, so many things that came against them. The question is today, what about you? What about me? Every one of us here, are we going to make it all the way to the end, having run our race successfully? It's so important, isn't it? But the offenses will come. They must come, Jesus said. And they will distract us if we don't train ourselves by the help of the Lord to be desensitized to all these things that will be a hindrance. It will cause us to slow our pace or to get off on the wrong course. So Lord, help us to be focused on that Christian race. The horse, in order to be a good runner, has to be comfortable with its equipment, the bridle, the saddle. And so it is when we run the Christian race, we have to be very familiar with the weapons of Christian warfare. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13. Hebrews 5 and 13, everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But the strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So the parallel here is the word of God is compared to milk. And strong meat is the stronger doctrine or the deeper things of God. And those things belong to them that are of full age, that who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We need to be well-versed in the Word of God. We need to make it our meditation if we want to run this race successfully. Horses are trained to run and win races by gradually having the demand on those horses increased. Their stamina, their ability to maintain that speed over a distance. And so it is with us spiritually. The Lord allows trials to come our way, which get harder with time sometimes. And what's that doing? It's building strength and stamina. So don't be surprised if a fire trial comes to try you. Don't think that's something strange. The Lord is building your stamina so that you can run the race all the way to the end. Let's turn to James chapter 1. I believe we can make it, don't you? All the way to the end. James chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let's accept the training the Lord sends our way so that we can run our Christian race successfully. The training being the trying of our faith, creating patience in us so that that patience can have her perfect work, so that we can be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. A good racehorse has a good diet. And I think the same is true for us as Christians. If we are going to be successful, we need a good spiritual diet. Luke chapter 4 and verse 3. The devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Man shall live by every word of God. I believe that we need a spiritually balanced diet. We need love. We need judgment. We need reproof. The Word of God is good for reproof. It's good for instruction in righteousness. But we need a good balance. We need to be able to feed on the Word of God and receive from it all the nutrients that we need in every area of our lives. No matter what it is, we need the Lord to balance our lives to make us strong in every area, then we can be good racers for the Lord. A good racehorse requires exercise. It's just a matter of time. If they stop the training regiment, if they stop preparing them for the race, it's only a matter of time till they start losing that muscle mass. They'll start losing their stamina, their speed. And so it is with us. Do you suppose we need some exercise as Christians? Paul said, "Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." Exercising ourselves in things of righteousness. I believe that includes self-control, being able to tell ourselves no. Paul said daily that he brought his body under subjection. And we have to do the same thing. If we're going to make it all the way to the end of the race, we have to train our bodies to be under control. Exercise is required to train for a race. That would include spiritual gifts. Has the Lord given you a gift? If so, are you exercising that gift? It's important. We need to be able to fight some battles and win some and have some victories. I think of David as he was a shepherd. The day came that he was standing before Saul explaining his ability to go and fight Goliath. And Goliath said, and Saul told him, you're not able to do it. But David said, "Thy servant killed a bear and a lion, and I'm able to take on this uncircumcised Philistine." Because he had had some prior training, you might say, he had had some experience, some victories in some smaller battles, he was able to go on to the greater battles. And the same is true for us. To exercise ourselves in those trials, the Lord will help us, that we'll be able to take on the greater things that may come before now and that final day. What about rest? A good racehorse needs some rest too. And so do we as Christians. Do you believe that? I believe there are times, like Jesus told the disciples, come away and rest for a while. They came to Jesus with the news of John the Baptist's beheading. They were all troubled. The people were pressing on them. It's like they couldn't come or go or have time to eat or anything. Jesus said, come away and rest for a while. Are you stirred up in your spirit sometimes? Is the stress of life too much? Are there things that are troubling you? Did you know a part of being successful in racing all the way to the end of life and having victory and having a crown of life includes you having some rest? In fact, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I believe that applies to the sinner, but I believe it applies to us as the people of God, that there are times that we need some refreshing, we need some restoration, and that's critical for us to be able to run our race. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. First Corinthians 9 and 24. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain." There is a way to run. It's not enough just to say, "Oh yes, I want to go to heaven." But we have to run in a way that we can obtain the prize. So how do we run? We run lawfully. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 5. "If a man also strive for the masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully." We have to run this race if we're going to make it all the way to the end consistently. Not start and stop, deciding to go off some other way, but Lord help us that we will have a consistent life about us, a consistent determination. I will make it all the way to the end. That's what it took for Paul to be able to make it through all the trials he did, in addition to the grace of God, he had to have a resolve. I will make it all the way to the end. I'm going to keep on running. It doesn't matter how many people turn aside. It doesn't matter how difficult the trial is, whether I'm running uphill, downhill, whether I'm in the valley on top of the mountain. It doesn't matter. I am going all the way to the goal. Consistency is what it takes. Lord, help us to be consistent in our Christian life, in prayer, in feeding on the Word of God, in being with God's children, in assembling ourselves together. We need a consistency to be successful in our Christian race. So if we are going to obtain, Paul says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Don't run just the way that other folks are running, but run in such a way, so run, that ye may obtain. So how do we run? We run with patience. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us lay aside every weight. Is there anything weighting you down today? Is there any unforgiveness? Is there any thing that is a hindrance that might someday grow into something bigger that would actually deter you from making heaven your home? Is there any doubt that is this weight? We're not talking about sinful things, but is there a doubt that somehow you just need to lay that weight aside and go on? Fears can be weights to us. Afraid of what the future holds. Afraid maybe we can't make it. To run this race, we're going to have to lay those things aside and run for all we have. And it says, the sin which doth so easily beset us. Well, clearly, we cannot run the race to heaven with sin in our lives. If we have sin in our lives, we're not on the road that goes to heaven. We're on a road that goes to a different place. We're going the wrong direction. So clearly, we have to get rid of sin by God's grace and by God's forgiveness, by the work of salvation. We get rid of our sin. But then as we go, it's closer than that. There are things that can be hindrances to us. Memories of the past, whatever it may be, that we sometimes get to the point that we have to be like Paul and says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are past, I press toward the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. He presses, and that's what we will have to do as well. We have to lay aside our sin, Paul says. Jesus in Revelation supported that thought. He said, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You notice, to him that overcometh is going to run this race successfully and is going to be able to eat of the tree of life. What kind of life? Eternal life. That is the man that will be successful in his Christian race. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. This tree of life used to be in the Garden of Eden, and it was taken away from Adam and Eve because of their sin. But Jesus said, if you overcome, you'll be able to partake of that tree. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. We sure need spiritual strength in life. We need daily food from God. To him that overcometh, to him that overcomes sin in his life, I am going to give him a source of daily strength and help, a That's what we need to run a race successfully. Jesus said in Revelation, "To him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God." He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, in other words. He is going to be steady when the storms come and go, when the race gets tough, when other people are dropping out of the race. He that overcometh, he that refuses sin, he that avails himself of the grace of God will be made a pillar in the temple of my God. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit down with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Now think about that. Jesus gave an illustration when he observed those coming to a feast. He saw those that assumed the best seats, and he began to reprove them, and he said, "Don't go and take the best seats. Go to a lower room, and if he that invited you to the feast says, 'Come on up,' then you'll have sup with him." Imagine what it would be like to sit with Jesus in his throne. Well, he says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne." I cannot imagine a higher honor. I cannot imagine a better place to be than in that throne with the Lord. Who's he going to do this to? He that runs the race successfully all the way to the end. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter, back to 1 Corinthians and 9 and 25. "Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Every man that wants to be a successful runner, who wants to be a sports, successful in the sports world, he tempers what he's willing to let his body experience. Overeating, oversleeping, whatever it may be, too little sleep. He's temperate. He moderates his diet. He is willing to do whatever it takes to win the race. And they're doing it for a temporal crown. So the question is, how much more should our resolve be for that spiritual crown, to run our race successfully, to make it all the way to the end? Would it be worth giving some things up? Would it be worth shedding some weights that we know would hinder us from making it there? Would it be worthwhile to give up sin so that we can be successful and go all the way to heaven? They are temperate in all things, and this includes lawful things for us spiritually. Lord, help us that we will be temperate, that we will be successful in our Christian race. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings 19 and 1. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." You might say Elijah was running a race. And how far did he run? A day's journey. And then he gave up. He said, "It's enough. Take away my life, Lord." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. The journey to heaven is too great for us without that spiritual nourishment that we need. Then he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. After he ate and drank what the angel provided him, he had the strength to make the journey all the way to the end, to the mount of God, to the place that God came and spoke with him and visited with him. It's so easy to give up, to become discouraged when the circumstances are bad. But Lord, help us to accept what the Lord has for us, the grace he has, whatever it is he has to give us, to have the strength to make our race all the way to the end. In Elijah's case, he made it to a place that he was able to meet with God. I want to ask you, what's at stake for running the Christian race? It's more important than winning a political position, isn't it? The presidency of the United States, that's so important. But what about this Christian race? I'm glad that the race, the Christian race, nobody can deprive us of that. They can't steal an election from us. They cannot cause us to go astray if we choose not to. I'm thankful that we can be successful. Every one of us can make it all the way to the end. But we're going to have to do some things. We're going to have to be willing to lay some things aside. We're going to have to run with patience. No matter what the circumstances are, we're going to keep going and going. God help us. But what's at stake? It's more than a presidency. It's more than a boat race. Whose horse is the fastest? It is eternity in heaven. Sitting in the throne with Jesus Christ. Having all sorrows and pains forever behind us. Being in a place where the wicked cease from troubling. What's at stake? Our eternal souls. Everything we have, the most valuable possession we have, more than our money, more than our reputation, all these things we may cling to in this life. What is at stake in the success of this race? Everything that's important. Well, this morning, if you have not begun your race, I want to encourage you to do so. Most important decision we can make. And if you have, and maybe you've stumbled or you have become discouraged, slacked up your pace, I want to urge you, keep running for everything you have. Keep on going. Don't give it up. If other people discourage you, if there are offenses, keep running. It's going to be worth it in the end to make it all the way. That's my prayer, my desire. Lord, help me that I'll be successful in my Christian race. I thought recently I was hearing about people that I'd known from a long time ago that chose to go a different way. They gave up the race. They quit. They went on a bypath. And the thought came to me, it is so much more important how we end up, that we have made it all the way to the end. You know, life is very short. The race will soon be over. Those decisions we make, whether or not we will be obedient, whether or not we will receive the strength and be able to go on the next 40 days and night journey, whether or not we are willing to be consistent, those decisions are so important. May God bless you, encourage you, keep running. Never quit, never give up. Amen.